Heart's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 25, verse 11, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 25, verse 11. Now, last time, beautiful Rebekah lighted off her camel and ran to her bridegroom, Isaac. Now, you see, at the seventh trump, after the Antichrist comes at the sixth trump, the bride of Christ is going to run toward our bridegroom, Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a type of us, the bride and the bridegroom. And so they got married. Remember that God had promised Abraham that through his son Isaac would come the Messiah, the Savior of the world, through that lineage. Well, they didn't have a child right away. And then when Abraham was 175 years old, we learned last week that he died. God called him home, and he was buried in a cave he had bought there. And to this day, that cave exists. It's in Hebron in the land of Israel. And today we have the remains of Isaac and Sarah, Rebecca, Abraham, and Leah. Take the first letters of each name and you have Israel. Now, let's begin.
Verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac walked by the well of Lahorna well.
The name of that well means the well of the living God. What this is telling us, that Isaac, who's Abraham's son, and through Isaac would come the Messiah, the Savior, that genealogy, that like his father Abraham, he walked with the living God. He walked with him. He talked with him. He lived for him. He obeyed him. Do you know that you can have a personal relationship, intimate with the Most High God? There's no love story like that story, and it's available for every one of you.
Amen.
12. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom the Egyptian Hagar, Sarah's maid, bare unto him.
Now God is going to be very gracious here. Remember that Abraham had an earlier son, Ishmael, by a handwoman, Hagar. But Ishmael was not the chosen seed. The Messiah was not to come through that lineage. But God respected Abraham enough, because Abraham loved Ishmael, to give Ishmael a few verses in the Bible. But we're going to find that Ishmael did become a great nation. We're about to hear that Ishmael descendants are all of the Arab nations today. You see on the news all the Arab nations? Remember that? All of these Arab nations? Well, their father is Ishmael. That's Abraham's other son. So God's going to mention his destiny here.
13. And these are the names of the son of Ishmael.
Now, you may read those names at home. For time's sake, I'm fast-forwarding to verse 16. Have fun with the names.
16, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations.
Remember that God told Abraham, Ishmael's going to be great too. Actually, Ishmael had 12 sons, and they were royalty. You notice the word castles? They're called dukes, D-U-K-E-S. And again, they are the tribes, all of the Arab nations in the Mideast. That's from Ishmael. That's from that. Sarah kind of botched that. That wasn't supposed to be. But since Ishmael was born, God made a lemonade out of the lemon and gave him, at least he is the father of the Arab nation. So that's good.
17, and these are the years of the life of Ishmael, And 130 in 7 years.
His dad lived 175 and Isaac outlived him, so he lived 137 years.
And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people.
Notice unto his people, that means his mother Hagar the Egyptian. He was not buried in that cave because he was not the pure lineage of Israel.
18, and they wept from Kabbalah unto Seir.
That shows respect for Abraham. They wept for Ishmael also because they respected that he was Abraham's son.
That is before Egypt, as I goest before Ophelia. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. 19, these are the generations of Isaac.
Now, so much for Ishmael. God gave him an honorable mention. But do remember that when you see all of the Arabs fighting our brother Judah, you'll understand what the source is there, okay? Now we're going to go back to Isaac. Remember, Isaac and Rebekah got to have a child so the Messiah can come through, Jesus.
Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife.
When she lighted off that camel, he was 40 years old. She was much younger.
Daughter of Bethuel, the son of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the son.
Don't forget Laban. That's her brother. He's going to come back up in the story of Genesis as we move along in this book. What they're showing there is that Rebekah was the right pedigree, the right seed line. In other words, God didn't want to mix any seed here because he was going to send his son through this lineage.
21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife.
You know what entreated means? He prayed for his wife.
Because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him.
The Lord heard his prayer.
And Rebekah, his wife, conceived.
Okay, so she gets pregnant. Now, on Wednesday night, and we're studying Psalm 119, we're studying the whole book of Psalms, we happen to be in Psalm 119, in the segment or section called Teth, we found that God wants us to wheel and deal with him about his word. Obviously, Isaac went to God and said, you told my father Abraham that your son, the Messiah, is going to come through my lineage, but it's been almost 20 years and Rebekah and I don't even have a child. So God said, I think I'll do something about it. So she gets pregnant. See, you can wheel and deal with God. As long as you do it his way, he'll answer your prayer.
22, and the children struggle together within her.
Oh my goodness, children, did you notice that? Not one baby, that's not one little baby's kick. This is a knockdown, drag-out fight going on in her womb. Now, what is that all about? These little embryos in there don't yet have their flesh body formed. So they are still very strong in their spirit. You are a spirit. The spirit is the intellect of your soul. In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, we were all created there, and we were in our spiritual bodies. No more sickness, no more death, no sickness, no death, no sin. But when Satan, Lucifer, Isaiah 14, rebelled and said, I will be God, he committed treason, and one-third of God's children followed him. So one of these in the womb, fighting away here, followed Satan. Why is the other one fighting? Because one-third got up and fought against Lucifer, Satan, and against that crowd that betrayed him. So the war began in heaven at Lucifer's rebellion, and there they are, the two spirits. You see, remember when you talk to a baby, the spirit hears. You keep thinking that it's an ignorant little tiny thing that doesn't know anything. The spirit is still very much alive. And so they were still fighting. They were fighting there, they were fighting here. One fighting for the devil, one fighting for God.
And she said, if it be so, why am I thus?
So Rebekah thinks, good Lord, if the Prince of Peace, who's going to bring peace to the world, meaning Messiah Jesus, is going to come through my womb, through my lineage, why in the world is there such war? There's no peace going on down there. This is a knockdown, drag-out fight. These little types are boxing away.
And she went to inquire of the Lord.
She did just like Isaac. She went to pray to the Lord. Don't you see? in your struggles, in your troubles, what do? You pick up the phone and you call everybody in town and you run hither, thither, and yonder and you run to the doctor and you run to the banker and you run to the newspaper and you run to this one. Why don't you take it to the top and go to God? His word has an answer for everything that ever ails you.
Verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb.
God immediately answered, two nations are in your womb. Now, as we move along in the book of Genesis, and some of this will come out today, I am going to document to you who those two nations are. But I will tell you now that one of the nations is Russia, and one of the nations is the United States of America. And we'll document it and verify it, some today and some as we move along in the book of Genesis.
And two names of people shall be separated from thy bowels.
Two names of people. We call them the Russian people. We call us the American people.
And the one people shall be stronger than the other people.
Until a few years ago, there were two superpower of superpowers. One was the Soviet Union, Russia, and one was the United States of America. Russia met its Waterloo and lost its superpower position when it closed its churches and made granaries out of them. And then they had to come with begging bowls to the United States of America. America, however, still hanging on a shoestring, still remains the superpower of superpowers. We're going to find out why.
And the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb.
Twins.
25. And the first came out red, all over, like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau.
Now, this same book of Genesis is going to say that Esau is Edom. And the Hebrew manuscripts, Esau means Edom. So what does Edom mean? Red, Rush, Rush by the Volga. When I was teaching music, I used to teach the Volga boat song. That's a Russian song. There's the Volga River in Russia. So that defines right there that Esau is Russia. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
Red, Rush by the Volga, Russia. Now, what about the hairy? Well, I don't know, but Vladimir Putin, who is a descendant here, remember he went without his clothes on horseback. Did anybody notice his chest? Was there any hair there? I don't know.
26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel.
They haven't given the brother's name yet, but this little tyke is holding on to Esau's heel. Why is that? The little guy knows in his spirit that he's the one God chose. Because see, in the first earth age, there was a judgment. Romans 8, whom he justified, he glorified. In other words, found not guilty. All who went and fought for God against Lucifer and against those who betrayed him are called chosen, called and elected, chosen from before the foundation of the earth. This little type knew he was chosen. But you see, the first one born got the first blessing. So the first one born here from Rebecca was supposed to be the one through whom Messiah would come, would get the blessing. But this little guy knew he was the one. So he said, wait just a minute, Esau. I'm supposed to come out first.
And his name was called Jacob.
Actually, there's no J in the Hebrew, Jacob, but we'll say Jacob.
And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them.
By the way, Jacob's name means heel grabber, surplanter, or overreacher. But do you know people criticize him for that? They say that he was bad for the womb. No, not at all. His spirit knew that he had a destiny. And his spirit knew, because he was chosen from before the foundation, but all the people who are chosen know it. You don't know where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to do, but it's in you as a little child. You know there's something more to you. You know you didn't come to this world to have a career or get married or have babies or cook food or do a work. That doesn't mean you may do all those things. We do all those things, but that's not your purpose. And so this little type knew that, the chosen know that. So he was justified in fighting for the birthright. Was really still fighting for God. Now Isaac is 60 years old, 20 years has passed. Every time there's a chosen child, something comes to try to delay that. I can tell you that when you know that God has called you and chosen you and appointed you, and he's told you something, everything in hell will come against you from doing that. And you will say, it's too late, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too poor, I'm too this, I'm too that, I got too much family, I got too much responsibility. Man's adversity is God's opportunity. It's never too late.
Verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a keen hunter and manned the field.
Now, Esau had a great talent to go out. He would kill deer and cook some wonderful venison. So he was sort of rough around the edges and a sportsman.
And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents.
Jacob was more upright. He was more studious. He was a little bit classier act.
28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison.
Now, Isaac, I'm not going to fuss at you. You don't love your child because they can cook food.
But Rebecca loved Jacob.
Why? Rebecca actually had more insight as to the destiny of her children than Isaac did. Abraham was so powerful, Isaac just took it for granted. But the moment Rebecca met Abraham's servant at the well and he told her that she was a chosen woman for Isaac, she understood that the baby that she was to birth was to be the forerunner of the Christ child. So you watch her. She's going to use some covert activity to get God's job done. So, of course, she favored Jacob. Doesn't mean she didn't love Esau, because she knew he was the one. Even though Esau was the firstborn, it was Jacob through whom Messiah was to come. What's she going to do about this?
And Jacob sought pottage.
Now, Jacob loved to cook, so he cooked a nice pot of pottage.
And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Verse 30, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.
His blood sugar was so low. Give me some of that food fast, says Esau. Apparently he hadn't caught it and killed anything that day.
31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright.
You can tell he's a descendant of Abraham. He knew how to wheel and deal. You say, make hay while the sun shines. He said, I'll be glad to give you some of my pottage. Sell me the birthright. I want to put it in writing. Jacob knows his destiny. See, you got to find your destiny and stick with it. No matter if everybody in this world says it's not going to be done, and they just say, what a silly person you are. You have a destiny. God will show you what it is. Start today by loving Jesus, reading the Bible, learning the Bible, the mystery of God, learning to pray in the Spirit, and living for Him moment by moment, and He'll walk you right into it. And don't let anybody deter you away.
Yes. Amen.
32, and Esau said, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me?
What good is a birthright? See, Esau said, I don't care about Messiah coming through my lineage. Do you see, if they don't do something about this, the Messiah was to come through Esau. And he doesn't sound like he's got great character. God wouldn't want his son to come through that, would he?
33, and Jacob said, sell it to me this day.
Sell it to me. Write it. Put it in writing.
And he sware to him, and he sold him his birthright.
Okay, deal done.
Unto Jacob. Verse 34. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way.
Jacob kept his part of the deal. Nice meal for Esau.
Thus Esau despised his birthright.
Esau despised his birthright. It didn't matter to him that he would get the firstborn's blessing. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1, and the book of Romans, chapter 9, God says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He tells us there that he hated Esau even when Esau was in his mother's womb. You say, how could God hate that little embryo? because that's not where they began. That's not where you began. There was a world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, when Lucifer rebelled, Isaiah 14, we were all there. And there Esau sold his birthright. When that one-third, Revelation 12, got up and followed Lucifer and betrayed God, one of those was Esau. So he did not like his heritage then, and he didn't care for it now. So much of what has happened to you or how you were born has to do with what happened there. But the beautiful thing about this one time in the flesh, born of woman, born again, born from above, this one time in the flesh is that this is your second chance. Even if you despised your birthright then, even if you did, you can repent and you can give the rest of your life to the Lord Jesus and fulfill the purpose of God in your life. And you then have not messed up your birthright, you see, and God won't despise you for it. You can, this is your second chance.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the bowels of Abraham.
Now, there was a famine when Abraham was alive, and now Isaac's facing one. Isaac is a very wealthy man. He has lots of servants and hired help, and he has his family. All of them have tents. They're nomadic people. And when there would be a famine in the land, they would pack up their tent, pull up the stakes, and they would move wherever there was water so that they would be okay. So they're going to have to move here. Now, where will they go?
And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Endora.
He probably did that because his dad Abraham did the same thing. While Abimelech was a heathen king, he admired and respected Abraham, so Isaac thought he would be safe there.
Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt.
Before he decided to go to Abimelech's land, God said, don't go into Egypt. Throughout the Bible, you will read, God tells his people, don't go into Egypt. Egypt represents sin. So when there's a famine in your life, a famine of health, a family of direction, a famine of love, a famine of money, a famine of whatever you need, don't go to the world for your help. Yahweh Rapha, he's the Lord who healed you. Yahweh Yarel, the Lord who provides your need. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord who fights your battle. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord who gives you peace.
Yes,
over and over and over. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord your shepherd. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord.
Yes.
Why would you waste your time running hither, thither, and yon? God wants you to come to him first. He's your nearest kinsman redeemer. It hurts his feelings when you run to the world, you run to the banker, you run to the doctor, you run to the employer, and all the while you have a God who owns it all.
Amen.
Dwell in the land of which I shall tell thee. Verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries.
I'm going to give you all this land anyway, Isaac. You're going to be blessed.
And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven.
As the stars of the heaven, as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. The same thing he told Abraham. Well, you know that actually came to pass, so you say, where are those people that are as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky? Some people say they're the lost tribes of Israel. No, they're not lost at all. We just have to study God's word. That same Jacob would get married, and he would have 12 sons. Jacob's name would be changed to Israel. God would change it, Israel. So Israel, Jacob Israel, would have 12 sons. They're called the 12 patriots, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, Israel being Jacob. Well, they multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, as numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. But one day they had a spat, and they split. two of the tribes of the house of Israel, all 12 tribes, changed their name and called themselves the house of Judah. And that was the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. They are today in part in the land of Israel where Jerusalem is, but some of Judah is in the Queen England's throne there. So where are the 10 tribes, the larger bulk? Well, the Bible says Sennacherib, the Assyrian, captured those 10 tribes, and history says that they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in Ireland, Scotland, England, and then stopped calling themselves the House of Israel, but they were still the Hebrew people. They called themselves Ephraim and Manasseh, and as we study Genesis, we'll find a wonderful man named Joseph of the seed of Abraham. That's his sons. But in England, Ireland, Scotland, they had a spat, came over the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada, Michael O'Hare, and these United States of America, and here we are. And you call yourself a Gentile. You don't even know why we are blessed. I'll tell you something, this very year, in the month of October, which is called the Feast of Tabernacles, meaning the time that the Lord comes in tabernacles with her, I am going to hold on my radio program, on the media, on the air, a day of repentance for the entire nation of America. We're going to connect every state in America, and I want every one of you to help me out. Will you wear a red, white, and blue hat?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and will you cheer us on? And we're going to give you assignments, and we're going to do this. Why? Because we have a charge. We know we're the seed of Abraham. Here we are, but the world doesn't know it. The church doesn't know it. You call yourself Gentile and all the while you're right here on purpose. This is the seed. Yes. And that's why when our forefathers, the Hebrew pilgrims, landed what would later be called many years later Plymouth Rock, they put up a rugged cross and dedicated this land to the glory of God and the glory of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The first schools were held in a church to teach our children how to read the Bible. Boy, have we come a far way. Day of Repentance, October. I'll tell you the date later. We're going to announce it, and we're going to just do our best with God's help. And I've gotten the mandate from God to get this whole nation to repent, to turn back to Jesus and back to the Bible. We're the seed of Abraham. Now you know who you are. You're in the Bible. You have a mandate. You have a charge. You have a purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give to thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed.
And since a lot of that seed is right here in America, the larger bulk. Now, some of the Christian nations are also the seed, but America has the larger bulk of the 10 tribes. Have you noticed that every nation is blessed because the United States of America, we're the first ones to go there when disaster strikes. So the whole planet is blessed because there is the United States of America. This didn't happen by chance. It's in the book.
Verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice.
I'm blessing you, Isaac, and I'm blessing your descendants. And you will be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. We're going to find out later, says one of you is going to be called a great nation, meaning a superpower of superpowers. And I'm doing it because Abraham obeyed me. Obedience brings blessings.
And kept my charge, my commandments, and statutes, and my laws.
Listen to those words, commandments, statutes, laws. In the 119th Psalm, God has 10 words that he loves very much, and they're all over the Bible. And the Bible wasn't even written yet, but God passed the word down orally, and he's teaching them to Isaac. I'm going to tell you what the 10 words are. They are way, testimonies, precepts, commandment, saying, law, judgment, righteousness, statutes, word. You want to learn those. They're in Psalm 119. He's teaching those to Isaac. And we're Isaac's seed, and now we're learning it.
Amen.
See how it works.
6. And Isaac walked in Beer. 7. And the men of the place asked him of his wife.
Uh-oh. Rebecca is so gorgeously beautiful, so they move there. Uh-oh, look out. The men are going to want her. What's he going to do? Is he going to lie like his father Abraham?
And he said, she is my sister.
Uh-oh.
For he feared to say she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me.
Well, you know, Abraham pulled that same trick, but Abraham didn't exactly lie because Sarah was his half-sister. They had the same father but different mothers, but Isaac and Rebekah were not even kissing cousins. I guess he just liked father like son.
For Rebekah, verse 8, and it came to pass when they had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window, and Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife.
Abimelech sees the sister, supposedly. Woo! Isaac was kissing Rebekah. This was not a brother-sister kiss. This was not even a kissing-cousin kiss. This was man and woman kiss.
9. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, of a surety, she is thy wife. Why saidest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, I feared lest I die for her. 10. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? What if my people might lightly have lain with thine wife? Thou should have brought cursings upon us.
He remembered about Abraham, because when they took Sarah into the palace, nobody ever lay with Sarah. They never did touch her. But God punished the whole nation. So you see, God looks out for his anointed. He says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. It were better for you that a millstone hung about your neck and you drown the depths of the sea than to hurt one of my little ones. He means the chosen ones, the elect. Well, God takes care of his elect. He protects his elect.
11. And Abimelech charged his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.
The very heathen king sends out a message, don't anybody touch Rebekah and Isaac. I mean, gives them security, protection. God protects his elect.
12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him.
Isaac obviously had learned from his father Abraham God's law of reciprocity. Sow what you need. Is there a famine in your land? Sow a seed of what you need, and God will multiply it. He always does, his law of reciprocity. So Isaac was blessed. Now, next week, we're going to learn about the blessing. The blessing is going to come forth from Isaac's mouth as God is about to call him home. Which son will be the heir? Through which son will come the Messiah? Don't miss it. We'll be right there next week.
Amen. Amen.
Mystery moment, but I ran over a little bit. So at this time, I'm going to introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson, and he's going to give us Scott's stuff. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Miss Sherry. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into the fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples.
Thank you so much. Bear much fruit. Absolutely
bear much fruit.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But if you're not saved, let's get you saved, first of all. If you're not saved and not sure you're saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. And God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enhance the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To enhance the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Right here on earth.
Right here on earth.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave a message on my answer, my voicemail, to tell me that you got saved. Now I'm going to pray for the sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. Right into the head where there seems to be dizziness and swirling around, a little bit of a fainting there, a little bit of an uneasiness. Peace be still. Let the blood, the circulation in all of the electrodes in the brain and in that head, in the skull there, be in divine order. Peace be still in Jesus' name. Right on down in the backbone of the spine, the pancreas. Pancreatic cancer be gone. You have no place here. Let the pancreas be healed. Crohn's disease, you have no place here. Loose in Jesus' name. Legs walk, blood be purified in the name and the power of Jesus. Sinuses open up, hearts be made strong in Jesus' name. Perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination in the name of Jesus. Be healed. He said his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Christ in you, your hope of glory. You yet praise him as the health of your countess and your God. Thank you, Father.
Thank
we
you.
Give you glory in the name and the power of Jesus. Thank you so much for coming. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in Revelation 17:17, or John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now, anything you get is not yours to keep. I know you thought so. Give it away. God's law of reciprocity. More will come to you. All these jewels and truth are yours to share with somebody else. So go and tell. I want to give a special thanks and appreciation for my twin friend, Scott Merson, the owner of the produce place in Century, Florida. We appreciate you, Scott, stuff. And next week, we'll be back with Mystery Moment. Until next week. This is Sherry Medlock, your host, saying I love you and I thank you with all my heart for joining me. Tell people of Trumpet of Truth, let's get together in this country and bring Jesus back to our land and the Bible back to our land and the Bible back to our hearts. And let's be a holy people again. That's the way God wants us to be. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now until next time, remember that Jesus is Lord. Love the word, pray, sow the word, get into your destiny and don't give up. And we'll meet together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Where the dearest and best for the world. world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me.
God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. And he'll call to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the
Yeah. side, the trees of the forest are singing, and all of the mountains with one voice are joining the chorus of this world. The flowers of the field are crying to be heard, the trees of the forest are singing, and all of the mountains with one voice for joining the chorus of this world. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. La, 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 yeah. And I will not be silent, no. And I will not be quiet anymore. No, I will not be silent, no. And I will not be quiet anymore. No, I will not be silent, no. And I will not be quiet anymore. No, I will not be silent, no. No.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument.
Some talk about virtue. Some preach about vice. Some say the road to heaven is paved with thin ice.
Some people keep sinning, they don't think about it twice. Still some have been born again and bound for paradise.
So many are called, so few will come. Backs up against the wall and still choose to run. But I'm proud that I'm a Christian.
Their minds content to be confused.
No hope in their heart, no love in their eyes. They reject his promises and waste their life.
But I'm proud that I'm a Christian.
I'll say it loud that I'm a Christian.
There ain't no doubt that I'm a Christian.
serve us. If we run to him, he will run to us. If we lift our head, he will lift us up. Come now, praise his name, all you saints of God. Draw near to him, he is here with us. Give him your love, he's in love with us. He will heal our heart, he will cleanse our hand. If we rend our heart, he will heal our land. Oh, sing for joy to God, our strength. Oh, sing for joy to God, our strength. Oh, sing for joy.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Just because you can make stuff by